Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's my honor to give the message today. Thankful for Pastor Dominic and Kim for giving the opportunity to give the message today. So we're going to go right into the message. And the title of the message is The Presence of God, you know, which is really what this thing is all about. And so you're going to see a word here that says purpose. So the purpose, I think in life we have a lot of questions, right? We have a lot of questions in life in general. And one of those questions is, what's God's will for me? You know, what's God's will for me? What's my purpose? You know, what is my calling? You know, I remember when I was, you know, first gave my life to Christ, I was asking those questions, you know, all over the place. I mean, and still, you know, I mean, it's still important. Like, oh, I grew out of that. No, actually, you know, we're asking that question, you know. These are very big phrases and big questions. I'm going to summarize it, though, in one question that I think that God's just been moving in my heart, and that question is, how do I bear fruit? You know, how do I bear fruit that will last? And, you know, that's what I want. You know, one day, that's what we all want. You know, we want to be productive in a way that when we're gone, we leave behind things. And, you know, I just talked about someone who had done that in my life, and we just heard about him passing away this morning. And that's exactly what we're talking about, you know. How do I bear fruit that will last? So we don't want our fruit to go away. So I believe God is showing us through his word how we can do that today. Everybody that's alive and awake right now, you have an opportunity to bear much fruit in your life. So so this is all about seeking to be fruitful for God. And, you know, there's productivity in a lot of different ways. But this one is, of course, the ultimate. You know, how do we be productive for God? So if we bear fruit for God, God will bear fruit for us and vice versa. So the fruit of our lives actually comes from the condition of the heart. So I usually say, you know, we should get rid of the phrase, you know, he made me do it or she made me do it. You know, what makes us do it, the only thing that makes us do it is the desire that is inside of our heart. You know, so that's why the Bible says to guard our heart, for out of it comes the wellspring of everything, all of our actions. So good or bad, it all comes from the heart. Our fruit, it all comes from our heart, not someone else's, but ours. So the good news is, when we meditate on this kind of word that we're about to see, it's guaranteed. You know, we just sang, his promises are yes and amen. That's a guarantee. You know, his guarantees are yes and amen. It's his promises. So let's read about how we can bear good fruit. Before we do that, I'll say a short prayer, okay? Lord, thank you so much again for your goodness, your kindness, and your presence. We thank you, thank you, thank you. We want to lift up your name, and we want to be your vessels, God. So God, we just pray that you bless this message. Let it be nurturing to our spiritual bodies and us to your service. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's look at, we're going to look at Matthew 13, 1 through 9, 19 through 24. I like reading scripture. So, you know, if you have a Bible, that's great, but it'll be up there. So here we go. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 and 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus continues, and he says to his disciples later, because his disciples was asking, what does that mean? You know, so when anyone hears the message from the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown. These are the seed that was sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of love, this life, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil, is the man who hears the word, understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 and 30 times what was sown. Wow, that's a lot, right? Like a tree, you know, there's one seed, but then that tree yields a lot of fruit, right? All right, so Jesus shares about four kinds of soil. So we're going to take a look at those four soils right now. All right, so there's the path, you see it. There's the path, right? There's the stony ground, there's the thorny ground, there's the good soil, right? Most of us, maybe around Sunday school or something, we've heard about this. So I'm so excited to be sharing about it even more today and what it means for us even more today. So let's take a look at these one by one and see about like what they mean. And I'm going to challenge everybody here because I think we're all dealing with these kind of soils all the time throughout our life, right? So if someone would say, well, I'm just good soil, you know, I'm good soil all the time. Have you ever worked with good soil before? In order for it to be good, you have to work it. You know, you have to make sure that it's not a path. You have to make sure it's not rocky. So we're dealing with these all the time if we're good soil, you know. So if we're coasting, we're definitely bad soil. No, but we're not bad, but, you know, we're a progress worker, you know, work in progress. But this is for us to understand so that we can work our soil. So let's take a look first at the path. Okay, so Jesus says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed along the path. So let's think about a path for a second. A path is something that you can see, right? It's kind of, in order for something to be made a path, it's got to be kind of, people's got to walk on it, you know. Long story short, it's so shallow that the seed cannot really penetrate through the ground. So let's think about really quick what that means for us. You know, what does it mean for a person that a seed, which is the word of God, doesn't come in and germinate, you know, so that it produces? Well, the seed comes into our hearts. And a lot of times the Bible references heart and mind a little bit alike. So Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When one person doesn't contemplate on the word of God, or I should say it this way, they don't relate to the word of God. They hear the word, they actually don't even hear it because they think, okay, this was something a long time ago, doesn't refer to me. And they don't, so therefore they do not contemplate on the word of God, you know. They zone out, you know, when the word of God comes their way. Now, one pastor put it this way, you know, if the word of God isn't working in you, it's not the seed. The seed isn't the problem. Because if anybody, even a mundane person, gave a message of Jesus Christ rising in from the dead, good soil can pick it up. Good soil can grow. It's the soil. It's the soil. The soil has to be such a condition that a seed can come in and germinate. So in this case, this kind of path is shallow. In other words, it just doesn't relate to the word of God, doesn't contemplate on the word of God. So in order to do that, some practical things that we can do is to have a simply a habit of thinking about what we're thinking about, what we're hearing, and think about what does that mean for me. That actually is a muscle. Some people say, oh, I don't have that kind of personality. It's not a personality. It's a practice. You know, thinking about what one is thinking about helps us to reflect on what it means for us. So one little other thing about the path that we need to understand is, this is kind of funny, but it says that, you know, the birds come and take it up. Well, that's the enemy. Satan comes and takes up the seed. It's just kind of funny that Satan finds the seed more valuable than the person that has the soil, you know. So in other words, he takes it away because it is valuable. We have to value the seed. So a person with the path has to think about, well, first has to see the seed as valuable. If you can see the seed as valuable, then you know. Yeah, everybody here knows about money, right? If something is valuable to you, you spend some time on it. You know, that's where your heart goes. So see the seed like money and you'll be good, okay? Now, nobody here cares about money, right? So rocky soil. Let's go into number two, the rocky soil. Jesus said, the one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. So this person has a little bit one up on the path. You know, they actually hear the word. They can actually hear it. They're like, oh, that's good. You know, and then they, but these people react. You know, they do not imitate, you know, the word of God. They react to the word of God. So it says they immediately respond with joy. It's like, oh, that's great. You know, so, you know, these people are, have a kind of a knee-jerk reaction, you know. So I was actually going to try to go to my wife, but then I'd be off the camera, you know. So can we try it? Watch this, you know. So, you know, if I had a, we'll pretend this is a hammer, you know. This is a reaction. Boop, you can't see it, but her leg just went up, right? I mean, you hit, respond. That's what happens with the word of God, you know, like with this rocky soil. You know, it hits you, you're like, oh, that's great. That's fantastic. But what happens when something not so great happens? Well, let's find out. Okay, so it says here, but since he has no root, you know, since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Right? It makes sense. Because you know, they know that the Bible has good news, you know, so they're like, wow, this is great. And then when bad things come, they're like, wow, this is terrible. And then they get away from the word because they respond, they react, they don't respond. And I think that the path and the rocky have this in common. They don't contemplate on the word of God. They don't think about what does this mean for me? And so it doesn't germinate and go in. Or the rocky is when difficult things come, they find it very hard to contemplate on the good things of God. So what I find is a little lesson here. And we all have hard things that will happen, right, in our life. What do we do when those hard things happen? You know, that's going to prove and show where our value is, you know, and that would be in the word of God for being good soil, right? Because trouble is often the minerals that God uses to germinate the blessed life for you and for me. So instead of reacting, let's pray that we can respond by meditating, interpreting, and applying the word of God in our life every day, and getting people around us that can help us do that. So let's take a look now at the thorns, and we're going to park a little bit at the thorns because the thorny soil is very interesting to me. One of the things that I think happens is a nation or a culture, I'll say a nation or society can take on a certain type of culture that represents one of these soils. So, for example, you know, I've been to Europe and done some study and, you know, had some documentaries that I also saw about Europe and their relationship with you know, God and Christianity these days. You know, there were a lot of missionaries a long time ago, long story short. But now the mass culture doesn't really identify, you know, with Christianity in general. There's a lot of powerful Christians, of course, in Europe. But the general culture is we don't identify with that. They're kind of like the path right now, right? Maybe they just don't relate to the Word of God as much as they used to. There's other cultures that have murals of Jesus on the wall. They name their kids after Jesus, you know, and everything. But when trouble comes, instead of turning to devotion, there's a lot of corruption in these nations, right? A lot of corruption. So it kind of represents the rocky soil. I think our nation, the United States, it doesn't mean that they are those things, by the way. It means that we just have to fight against that kind of thinking in those cultures, you know? And the kind of thinking we have to fight against in our culture is the thorny soil. So because there's a lot of that, I think, in the United States right now. Doesn't mean we are. We just have to fight against the tide of those things. So let's take a look at the United States. I think I put something up there. So when the U.S. is living in a culture that pressures us to have thorny soil, we just have to move the opposite of the tide and pray for the United States when it comes to thorny soil, right? So let's actually take a look at this verse here. Jesus said, "And the one whom seed was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries and distractions of the world and the deceitfulness," Amplified version, "the superficial pleasures and delight of riches choke the word, and it yields no fruit." So I think this is interesting, right? This doesn't mean, by the way, I want to be a millionaire. You know, I have nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with money, you know. But what I'm talking about is this. And God's been dealing with me on this one. So I thought, well, I'm not thorny soil because I don't worry much, or at least I try not to worry. But what really, as I was meditating on this word, God pointed something out to me. It says the worries and distractions of this world and the deceitfulness of riches or good things. So I think a lot of times we may see something as good, and what happens is we just get distracted. Right? There's so many good things out there that we can pursue or things that we can do. And I just put it this way, you're doing too much, you know, doing too much, you know. And I fell into that, you know. A lot of times doing too many good things can make our soil thorny and make us less effective. And I think in the United States, at least, there's a lot of good things out there. There's a lot of distraction, right? Does anybody use social media in here? I didn't think so, right? No. So there's a lot of distraction in the world. And they're good things, you know? I'm not saying don't use social media. I'm saying that we have to learn how to manage all these things because of all this abundance of good things that we have. So it's easy to get thorny soil. So my prayer, my goal is not to integrate too many things, too many activities, so that the Word of God, I fall short of meditating on the Word of God. So these people find themselves also isolated, but not because of the pandemic, but because of their hearts. You know, when you're so busy and you think you're doing so many good things, if people try to reach into your life, they might get pricked, right? Because, you know, I'm busy. I'm doing these things. I'm doing all these important things. And why are you trying to stop me? Why are you trying to bother me? And these people end up isolating themselves. And I have a really good example, okay? I think it's really, really good, okay? Example of this. There's two people, right? One you're going to find is kind of like good soil, and the other one a lot like thorny soil, okay? At least at the time. I'm sure she got better. You've probably heard of this story before, but I'm going to read about this, and I'm going to ask you some questions, okay, to see if you can see if you can tell how one person is good soil, one person is thorny soil. And hopefully we can learn from these things and practice being good soil too. So as Jesus, Luke 38 through 42, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, and I just want to stop right here. Do you see the word distracted? That word was also in the description of the thorny soil. All the distractions of the world. Anyway, she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. That's a command. He gave Jesus a command, right? So Jesus said, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Gosh, there's so many things here. Lord, help me. So let's look at Mary and Martha. Has anyone ever heard of Kahoot before? It's like an online game. I was going to try to do it, but we'd be here all day with the servants. So anyway, I'll just ask you a couple questions here. So you can answer if you like to. So, but who between Mary and Martha was doing too many things? Martha, right. Who was doing one thing? Mary. It was Mary. Which woman was alone? Martha. It was Martha. Which one felt alone? It was Martha. So let's see. I'll skip that question. Who didn't have time for the word? Martha. Which one was upset? Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha. Which one was commended for doing what was better? Mary. It was Mary. We're not picking on Martha, right? But I think there's a really powerful lesson, because if you've lived in the United States for a couple of days, you've been like Martha at least once, right? Just because we're in a first world country. We're blessed, you know, blessed with a lot of good things. So we have to manage that blessing. So Mary was doing less, yet accomplishing more, which really blows my mind. You don't even hear her talking in this whole passage. She's not saying a word. One was speaking up for themselves, and the other one was spoken for, which really amazes me. Some of us, like Martha, are making our own lives harder, like myself. I'll be the first one, and getting angry at others who have chosen to do what's better. Ugh, I'm talking about myself right now. So I want to be like Mary. You know, I want to be like Mary. I want to be humble, connected, learning, growing, not busy, focused on Jesus and growing. She was bearing fruit just by sitting at Jesus' feet. So I think that's the biggest thing, is to how do I sit at Jesus' feet? How do we stay at Jesus' feet? Oh, one other thing about Mary. She didn't answer her haters, you know. She didn't think about it this way. Mary was doing the better thing. So Mary could have been like, oh, hold on, Jesus. Martha, why don't you get over here? Like, we're listening. Jesus is here. He's not going to be here forever. Stop working and get over here. Did she do that? She didn't do that. I just think that it's just so amazing. You know, so we don't even need to answer people that we feel like aren't doing what we think they need to be doing. We just need to rest at Jesus' feet. And that's a practice that I want to be the first one to do. So Jesus did say that Mary chose the better thing. That's great. So she minded her own business, and she stayed focused on Jesus' presence. And this message is entitled, The Presence of God. It could be entitled, Staying in the Presence of God. And if anyone finds that easy, come meet me over here and talk to me, okay? Because it takes hard work. Staying in the presence means sitting at Jesus' feet. When was the last time you sat at Jesus' feet instead of answering your critics? Instead of getting busy with all of the needs that need to be done in life? We're going to talk later about how we know that everybody has obligations. So I'll get to that in a second. But these people, let's talk about the good soil. What is good soil? Good soil. Good soil is, let's have, Jesus will answer this for us. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. These people aren't the people that don't relate to the Word of God. These are the people that meditate on the Word of God. So let's look at good soil really quick. Doesn't that look good? It looks like some good, rich soil, right? So Mary was good soil. So I'm trying to take notes at some things that Mary did. I want to be counterintuitive to this culture, like Mary. And Mary got, she got it right. She was just staying in the presence of Jesus, and that was all that was needed. How many times will we look back and find that staying in the presence of God was all that was needed? I know we all have obligations, and that's the point of this whole passage, right? So what are some things that what does it mean to stay in the presence of Jesus? So there's a couple of practical things. One is simply playing worship music when you're in your car. Another one is listening to a sermon like this, you know, like at home or something like that. And there's other things that we can do as well that I will definitely get into. Actually, I'll get into it right now. So let's read John 15, 1, verse 4. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So to bear good fruit, to bear fruit, we need to stay connected to the vine. So this is what I feel that Jesus, how we can stay in the presence of God. One is just staying at his feet, which I talked about worshiping, right? Worshiping God, saying, thank you, Jesus. You've been good to me. Remembering the great things that God has done for us. Staying present, you know, and just contemplating over and over again on what this means for me today. Because the Word of God means something different for you today than it did yesterday. I guarantee you that, okay? It means something different. There's something new God wants to do in your life today that he didn't do, that wasn't done yesterday. I always pray, God, I pray that this won't be just another day, that this won't be a regular day, that we will go through the mundane things of life. I don't think that God has that for anybody in this place or anybody watching. He wants to do far above what we can imagine. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about something for your grandkids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids that money can't buy, right? And bless you financially, because there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if someone needs a new car, Sherry should give her testimony sometime about her car situation. God provides. He's the provider. But what we need to do is stay in his presence by praying and worshiping. But number two is really important. I think we all forget it sometimes, including myself. Another way we stay in the presence of God is to exemplify his character. When we exemplify the character of God, we're staying in his presence. So being patient, being kind, you know, not telling that person off when we think that we could actually do that, you know, being gentle and kind. Being loving. It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Notice that word fruit, right? Bearing fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Discipline, right? Discipline. When we have discipline, we're actually staying in the presence of God. You know, doesn't mean that we don't like lose control every now and then. Because when we do make mistakes, another way to stay in the presence of God is to humble ourselves, right? Be humble. And when we do that, we're staying in the presence of God. When we think we're better than other people, we're leaving his presence. Okay? When we put on pride, when we put on impatience, when we think someone is just, we call someone names, you know, because we don't understand their perspective. We're getting out of his presence. His kindness is what leads us to repentance. So that's my prayer. I want to stay in the presence of God in my life. And those are the ways that God says you can bear fruit. If you take on my character, you're being like me and you're staying and remaining in me. So we can practice this with others. The biggest thing for me personally to stay in the presence of God is to stay around people. You know, God spoke to me once and he said, what made me give my life to Christ was my sister, Andrea. She came to me around 17, 18 years old and said, Jeremy, you're doing all these things for yourself. And I was. But what are you doing for God? And I couldn't answer that question. I got rid of all of my tapes, you know, back in the day, you know, of music. And I started to get, like, Miss Angie was my first Christian artist that I got. You guys got to check her out one day. But I started to try to live my life for God. You know, I gave my life to Christ. Later, probably 15 years later, you know, I really felt God was saying to me, Jeremy, you've done all these things. You're trying to do these things. But I'm going to show you what I've done for you. I'm going to show you my grace. And I started to have a revelation about God's grace a little bit more, so much. You know, we call one of our kids' name is Grace, you know, because grace is something that I think we can miss sometimes. We're trying to do so many things for God. But I feel like the thing that God's saying to me these days are a little bit different. He's saying to me, Jeremy, you're doing things for me, and that's great. You recognize my goodness in your life, but I want you to do some things for my people. I don't want you to isolate yourself. You know, I had a lot of hard things that happened in my life, like we all have, and it's so easy to isolate ourselves and to get busy. I'm not even talking about a pandemic. This was way before a pandemic, you know. Because it's hard. When you're trying to do so many things and people try to get into your life, I have pricked people before. I am thorny soil, like, for sure, you know. But I realized that my salvation is in being around people. Imperfect people is salvation for me. I got to be around people. And I think being in Solid Rock Church has helped me personally in doing that. Carl was one of those people that helped do that for me. You know, he'd come to me and, you know, kick me or something and then just say, you know, how you doing? You know, how's it going? I'm like, oh, good. I'm doing good, you know. But he was just a blessing, you know. A lot of things that he's done just in general, just in his kindness and everything has really, you know, I don't know if you've seen a painting by Carl before, but, you know, he was just a light. But he was one of those people that would approach you, you know, and he believed in staying connected with the people of God. And so, you know, he'll be missed. You know, I just think about his, you know, his, how he just believes in people. He was a down to earth man. And so, him and Diane are a blessing, and they're exemplary. They exemplify good soil to me. They exemplify good soil. So praise God. So the thing that I learned is to say that God is enough. I can stay in his presence. I can stay with his people. If I get hurt, it doesn't matter because there's a book called Relationships, A Mess Worth Getting Into. You know, being with people is a mess worth getting into. Don't isolate yourself. You're not alone. God is enough. He will help you. So I have for you just this message to stay in the presence of God. You know, stay in the presence of God. Stay in his presence. Stay with people in any way that you can. I'm not talking about a pandemic. I'm not saying, you know, get over here in church. You know, I don't care if you're vaccinated or not. You know, I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying we need to be with the people of God. So do it however you can, but stay in his presence. Only recently have, you know, I felt that super closeness, you know, with God's people, and felt it more worth it to be with God's people than it is to be alone. So God says, for the one who does not love his brother that he has seen cannot love God who is unseen. You know, I was the first person to say, oh, you know, I love God. I love him. But then I'd push people away, you know, like all the time. I'm too busy loving God. I don't have time for you, okay? But God's like, no, my son, you got to love my people because that's my presence. When you exemplify, it's hard to exemplify the characters and the fruit of the Spirit alone. Being gentle with yourself isn't enough, okay? You got to be gentle with people, you know? Even when they treat you a different way, they say something you don't like. Come on, you got to forgive. That's another fruit of the Spirit. Forgiveness, those are fruits of his presence. Get around people as hard as it is, because it is salvation for you. It is staying in the presence of God. He promised that if you seek him and his kingdom first, by the way, this is his kingdom, his people, is his kingdom, he'll take care of you. That's what Carl did. And you know, God, he's in a really good place right now, really good place. God is taking care of him. I think about Abraham, who got, you know, was fed grapes, right? And then there's others like, oh, I want to be there. That's where Carl is right now. So in other words, we bear much fruit by staying in his presence. Don't pursue just good things by itself. Pursue God things. And these right here are God things. And then take out, God will help you. God will help you take out the thorns. You know, maybe there has been some thorns and you don't feel comfortable around people or whatever it is. He'll take it out. He'll take out the rocks. He'll work the path and he'll give you good, good soil. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you right now for giving us the Word of God. The Word of God is what we need to work our ground, that is our heart and our mind, so that we could be fit to bear good fruit, fruit that will last. Only you know how to do that, God. So I really pray, God, that everyone hearing this word, and including myself, surrender to you. And Lord, I pray that anyone here, anyone listening online, say, I don't know Jesus, but I want to know him today, and I just hear this message. I want you to repeat these words after me. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead to give me life and life that much more abundant. And I'm tired of doing all this on my own. I give my life to you. I want to know you, Jesus, and I want to be with you for the rest of my life and on into eternity. Lord, help me not to leave from your presence. Help me to take on your character, value it, welcome it, instead of these rocks that I've been holding on to, these thorns I've been holding on to. Lord, I let it go, and I thank you for your grace as I sit at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen.